This is a passage I think many of us are familiar with when Jesus is exhorting his disciples and those who are listening to him not to worry. I've preached on this passage before and in particular taken that exhortation and fleshed it out a bit and shared it even more fully with folks. This time as I was preparing for the message this morning, I came across a sermon on this passage by one of my very favorite preachers, Episcopal priest and preacher, professor and author, Barbara Brown Taylor. In her message about this passage, she shares of a time when she was gathered with some friends at a friend's home. This friend of hers was in a new home and had invited a group of her friends over for a supper and a blessing of the house. And so they gathered together at the home. And as good Episcopalians, they at one point pulled out the prayer book. And in the prayer book, they found in there a service, a short service for the blessing of a home. And they started to go through the service. And of course, with the worship service, there were scripture passages to be read. The first Old Testament passage was one that seemed to make sense and seemed to fit the occasion pretty well. And that was the passage from Genesis, where Abraham, unbeknownst to him at the time, entertains the messengers of God, the angels, if you will, under the oaks of Mamre. And he is exhorted for that, for having done that. He is blessed because he showed such hospitality. So as these people were gathered in this home that was going to be showing hospitality, not just in that moment, but in other moments, it seemed to make sense to read and reflect on that passage. When they came to the New Testament passage, they expected perhaps to find something from Jesus, maybe along the same line, some words about being hospitable, maybe even the passage from Hebrews, which references the story from Genesis about Abraham and encourages people to always be hospitable because they might be entertaining angels unawares. But that was not the passage that they found. They found listed for this service, this passage that we have heard read today, from the Gospel according to Matthew, these words of Jesus where he talks about not worrying and the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and they found themselves struck by that choice. And I wanted to share with you a little bit out of Reverend Taylor's sermon. She writes, "You know what it said. Therefore, I tell you, you do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" She writes, "The words fell like stones in deep water. No one coughed or cleared a throat as Jesus preached to us, assuming that we believed him, assuming that we took God's providence for granted. He was telling our friend that she was safe, but not because she had a roof over her head and a key to the front door. 'You are safe,' Jesus told her, 'because the God who made you will not abandon you. That is your home, which nothing and no one can take away from you.'" And I was inspired by her message in this sermon. Perhaps it was because our family has just returned from a month and a half worth of traveling on and off. As some of you may be aware, we were first at summer camp for a week, and then we were home to catch our breath, and then we were away to a mission trip for a week, and then we were home to catch our breath, and then we were away on our vacation, and we returned just yesterday afternoon from that time. And as my guess is the case for many of you, there were times in each of those weeks we enjoyed all of them and we look forward to them every year, summer camp and mission trip and vacation with extended family. But there was a turning point, if you will, or a time in each one of those weeks where we started to think about getting home. Have you ever been there before? Right? You've been sleeping. My back is not happy about the number of beds that I have slept in over the course of the last 6 weeks. And so there's a part of me that has been longing for the familiarity and comfort of my own bed. The showers that we had to endure are nothing like the shower that I have set up perfectly at my house. Right? There's a point at which when you're away, even if you love to travel, and even if you're away for something that you enjoy doing, you start to think about what it's going to be like to be at home. And some of that is blessing because you're thinking about the things that you miss. Some of it might be a little bit of burden, thinking about the things that you're going to have to do when you get home, things that haven't been done around the house or need to be done when you get home, or getting back to work or whatever the case may be. But I've been thinking a lot about home lately because I've been away from home a lot lately. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Many of you have already traveled in the last couple of months, and some of you may be planning to travel. And my guess is at some point along your travels, you started to think about getting home as well and what that would be like, finding safety and security and familiarity in that place. So perhaps it's because I've been traveling so much that Brown Taylor's take on this passage and its connection to what it can mean to be at home struck a nerve with me. It could also be because a few weeks ago when we left for the mission trip, we left a couple of days earlier than we normally do because it was my 20th high school reunion time. And my classmates had put together a reunion back home for me, which is southwestern Pennsylvania. And so we gathered our family and headed to go to that before we headed off to the mission trip. And as we were heading into town to prepare to go to that reunion, my wife and I decided kind of at the spur of the moment to swing past my childhood home and to show our daughters that house, the house that I spent most of my childhood growing up in. When I was 6 years old, my father graduated from seminary, and we as a family moved to this home in Youngwood, Pennsylvania, and I lived there until I left the home to go to college. My parents eventually moved out of that home when I was in seminary. So for 20 years, that was our family home. And I personally had not been back there for many years. It holds a lot of good memories for me. And our daughters had never been there. When my parents moved out of that house, my wife was just about ready to give birth to our oldest daughter, Kylie. And our daughters have never been in my hometown. They've been in my wife's hometown, but they've never been in ours. So I thought, we're going to take a side trip just for a few minutes, and we're going to stop by the old homestead. And so we did, and we jumped out of the car. I didn't knock on the door and bother the people that live there now. The church and the house, unfortunately, have been closed and sold away. It's no longer the church that I grew up in. Another church is now occupying that space. And it's a privately owned home. It was a manse when I grew up in it. But we got to walk around, and I got to point to the different windows and say, that's the room that I had for my bedroom, and that's where your Aunt Laura had her bedroom, and we used to play this game in the backyard. We walked around to the end of the block where there used to be a park, and I told them about that. They, of course, were completely enthralled by all of my memories. I think if you asked them, they would tell you it was the highlight of their summer. To their credit, they did seem somewhat interested. They asked them good questions, even humored me and took a pose in front of the house. But it was a wonderful walk down memory lane for me, for all of the time that I spent in that home and in that community. And it was a wonderful opportunity to share that with my girls a bit about my childhood. Because even though I don't live there, and I have not lived there for many years, and no one in my family has lived there for many years, that is home for me. And so as I read Brown Taylor's sermon, that came to mind for me as well. Or perhaps it's because of the situation that we as a church family find ourselves in. We're not at home right now. We are travelers on the way in this moment and have been for the last number of weeks. Just about the time this is starting perhaps to feel a little bit like home, it'll be time to pick up and head back to our home space, which is the church building that we all know so well. But we have been wanderers on the way for the last month, and I think many of us are in one way or another itching to get back to that space, the more comfortable and familiar space. It looks, I can tell you firsthand, very different, but in some ways it looks the same. And it's going to function for a while as it has for so many years. Many of you have called that church home, home for decades. Some of you for just a few months. Some of you are just passing through in the moment. But that is our church home, and we're not there right now. That's the place that holds so many years and decades of memories, of worship services and pictures in front of the Christmas tree and Logos meals and Sunday school classes and weddings and baptisms and funerals. Our home is not where we are now, but we will be going back, and it will be changing for us as well. So perhaps it's because we have been kind of homeless for the last month or so that resonated a bit with me. This notion that home is not necessarily a place, but for us as believers in Christ Jesus, as believers in the one God of the universe, home is in a person, is intriguing to me. Because you know it is the truth for us that throughout our history as Christians, as people of faith, as God's chosen people, we have so often been homeless. It is the very beginning of our story, if you will. In Deuteronomy, in the 26th chapter, God gives instructions for the Israelite people who have been wandering in the wilderness, how it is that they are to bring their sacrifice to God. And the instructions are that they are to bring their sacrifice to the place of meeting. And when they hand it over to the priest, they are to say, "My father was a wandering Aramean." A reminder that for them, they have been a homeless and displaced people from the very beginning. That the tent, and eventually the temple, and then the temple rebuilt again, and the city walls built and then destroyed and rebuilt again, are all temporary and may seem like home to them. But home for us, first and foremost, is in our God, in the presence of God. Wherever we may be, God is with us. And that is where we find our home. We find all kinds of sense of security and safety in the walls that are around us, in our houses, in our church home, wherever it is we may lay our head at night, wherever we find our meals and our fellowship with family and with friends. Those are very important places for us. It was what the Israelites were striving for and wandering for and looking forward to for years and years and years. And even when they found it, God was intent on reminding them that that was not their place of home first and foremost. That their home is first and foremost in God and in God alone, in the embrace of the God that created them, loved them, sustained them, and carried them through their wandering. It's the same God who has led us in our wanderings, who sent us Jesus Christ to be our sense of home wherever we may be. There is that old adage cliche, home is where the heart is. Many of you might have that somewhere in your home. It reminds us that no matter where we are, as long as we find love, we can find home. And I think as people of faith, as people with theological minds and hearts, we can be reminded that that love comes to us from God because God is love. And so home is where God is just as accurate to say. So as you travel or have traveled over the last few weeks, as some of you are even selling homes and buying homes, moving into new places, leaving old places, fixing up the ones you're in, my hope for you as you look to home is that you may be reminded that no matter where you are close to home because you are close to God, the one that loves you, the God who protects you and keeps you, the God who wants nothing but the best for you, the God who is home for you, whether that's here or there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.